Have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. I have been really studying on this message today. My wife said, good Lord of mercy. If it's as long as you put hours in it, then it's a wham banger. But many times, as I study for a sermon, or you preachers understand, is that you want it to get inside of you. You want it to register in your life. I mean, we're not up here just lecturing. We're up here preaching, which is proclaiming God's Word. Amen. And so I spent a lot of time meditating on this message today because I think the Lord, it's just unusual the Lord beginning to take me into places I've never been. I started a series Wednesday night on the hand of God. And now it's kind of elementary, but as we go along, we'll understand exactly what the hand of God is. I've never preached on it in these 30 years. I've never heard any preaching on it, matter of fact. The hand of God and what it does in our life is concerning our breakthrough. And today I'm going to share a message with you that you need to listen to it with all your heart. You need to understand that this is part of faith. It's hard for us faith people, as we call ourselves, to understand sometimes when we're going through adversity or storms or trials or situations. We seem to deny them or seem to put them in a place of that we don't have peace in it. And we get agitated and we get all bent out of shape, yet we're saying the right things. We're trying to believe the right things. We're singing the right things. We're worshiping the right things. But there's just something about it that's not hooking up. And today I want to go down that avenue and talk about some things. God gave us a word of knowledge last year, a word of prophecy in one of our services that there was a storm coming. Get ready for the storm. And build your life on the rock. Start building things right. Don't build them upon sand where the storm comes and the wind blows and your house falls. But build your life upon the rock. And the rock is Jesus and the Word of God. Amen. So the Lord said to us there was a storm brewing. And I think we are in that season today of a storm. Amen. It's evident. Storm in our nation. Storms in our lives. Many of us are dealing with things we've never dealt with before. Our grandmothers and their grandmothers and fathers never would imagine that we'd be living in this time that we're living in, that we really can't talk about Jesus in the school. We're really trying to take in God. We trust off our money. It's just a war battle zone against light and darkness. And so there's a storm brewing. The dictionary defines a storm to be violent weather, heavy rain or snow, or strong winds. But it also means a sudden strong attack. A sudden strong attack. How many of you remember Desert Storm? 1991. When the U.S. and some of the allies invaded Iraq? And in 100 days, they fought a battle and won Iraq. They stormed in. They violently attacked. I mean, Iraq never realized we had the armory that we do, the tanks that could see them miles away. They couldn't even see the United States. If you need to rent some videos of the battle in the desert between the tanks. They never saw us, but yet we could see them miles away and shoot them and blow them up miles away. It was a storm. It calls it Desert Storm. 100 days they were attacked with vigor and violence, and they won the battle. That's a storm. That's a storm. It's important you understand the storms in the season of breakthrough. Now, I'm not, thank you, Pam, you understand. I'm not expecting a lot of amens or enthusiasm because we are faith church and we talk about breakthroughs. But in order to understand some of you that not come through your breakthrough, you need to understand where you're at. It's always good to know where you're at. Amen. Don't follow anybody don't know where they're going. You don't get in the car with somebody don't know where they're going. They might take you anywhere. Amen. You ought to know where you're at all the times of your life and what you're dealing with. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about seeing God in the storm. Yes. Seeing God in the storm. Say it with me. Seeing God in the storm. Yes. Mark chapter 6. Disciples had just witnessed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's pick up the story in verse 42. And they did all eat and were filled. Is that right? Verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go over to the other side before unto Bethsaida, where he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Yes, and he went up into the mountain to the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. If you don't mind, keep your Bibles open to this portion. How many of you have ever been driving along and you got in a storm? Storms forces us to do things that we do not necessarily do. If you're driving in a storm, the storm will cause you to slow down. I know that's uncomfortable for most of us. My wife's always saying, what you in a hurry for? I don't know. I just have a heavy foot, I guess. But storms, while you're driving, storms will force you to slow down. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
They force you to turn on your lights. Yeah. And sometimes your flashers. Because you don't want nobody to bump into you in the midst of a storm. You go slow. You pay attention, don't you? In the midst of the storm. I remember many cases and storms that we got into. Sometimes we had to pull under a bridge. Amen. And slow down. When I was coming home from Bible school. 1986. And about 2 o'clock in the morning. Man, when we got through a graduation, we was already packed up. We were ready to come home. We closed the apartment out. We had about 5 cars following us to come back, and we had 24 hours to go, and we got right in the midst of a tornado. I mean, the wind was blowing, things were going across the road. That's not unusual for Tulsa, Oklahoma, the wind to blow. But we had to slow down. Say slow down.
Slow down.
So a storm forces you to slow down, and not only that, it'll cause you to do something to help your visibility. I mean, you want to see in a storm, right? I mean, you turn on your windshield wipers, your headlights, and flashers, and everything about it, and you do that because the storm forces you to do that. Another thing that people do when they're driving in the storm is they begin to pay more attention to others. I don't know, but when I'm driving, I'm not even looking at the road. Women drive this way. Real men drive this way. I see more off the road than I do on the road. That's why I've ran over things in the road. Amen. I've messed up many a tire, ran in a lot of holes. My wife said, didn't you see that? How can you see that looking over there? I know your men don't drive that way, but most men look on the other side of the road rather than in the front. But in a storm, even the most educated or most, what do you say when you're doing something a long time? Experienced, that's it, drivers. Pay attention. I mean, they look through the window, right? They do all that's necessary. Because the storm will force you to do things that you usually don't do. Amen. Now here's the thing you need to understand. People of faith go through storms. People of faith go through storms. I know you don't want to hear that because nobody here will volunteer for a storm, will they? We got any real storm chasers here this morning? I mean, we don't have a Wednesday night brag night to say what kind of storm we're going through, because we don't really like to even own up to a storm, a violent attack in our life, because we don't understand storms. But when we look at the story of disciples, we see some things we need to learn as faith people. Help you get through your breakthrough. Because if you don't work it, it's, remember, supernatural is super God and natural you. It ain't all God, it ain't all of you. Actually, I used to say this, it's a little bit of God and a whole lot of you. A little dab of do you, God. But we got to work at this thing. Amen. So until you understand your surroundings and what you're going through, it's going to be hard for some of you to break through because you don't understand the storm that you're in. Life has forced you to do things. Like we said last week, your core values, or Wednesday night or something, we're talking about core values. They got out of whack because the storm has forced you to get your eyes off the one in the storm with you. But we need to understand that faith people go through storms. Yeah. We have deaths in the family, untiming death. We have, sometimes we faith people lose our homes. I did. Yeah. My automobile, I have a flat tire just like yours. Right, yeah. The motor blow up, did on us one time. Church raised money to help us get on to Florida. Yeah. Right on the way to a good vacation, right out on, going, I think, 16 or 75 south to Panama City, and the motor blew up in the car right off the bat to a faith person. It's not whether we're going to have a storm, faith people. It's what we... The thing is, do we see God in this storm? Where is God in your life right now? Because it makes a whole world of difference when you know where God's at in your life. And sometimes when we're in a storm or a violent attack or things of adversity, we kind of set, because we're faith people, we set God aside and we begin to focus on us and focus on our surrounding. And the very power that we need in the midst of the storm is now on the outside of the storm, and we don't know how to deal with life. Very few people. They write all the books in the world telling you how to deal with life, but experience is a wonderful thing. They tell you all they tell you about this or that and the other. They're good to read. They bring knowledge, but you know what? There's some things we got to go through life to learn for ourselves. And if you like me, there's some places I ain't never going back through. No. I learned something. Anybody ever learn anything? I won't do that no more. You ever said that? Yeah. You learn that early in life as a little child when you stick your fingers in that little socket over there and your mama tell you not to do it. It didn't take but one time to get your fingers in there. You won't do it again. You didn't have to be an electrician. You didn't have a license. You just learned by experience. That thing will knock you good, won't it? Huh? Experience is not a bad thing. But in the times of storm, you need to begin to try to find God in the midst. Amen. And that's what we see right now as we look at this story. The first thing we see in the story is found in the first portion of verse 45. Look at it with me. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. The New American Standard said immediately Jesus made. Say the word made. Amen. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. What I want you to see is that Jesus led them there. Yeah. Here goes our faith head. Just listen to the rest of it. Jesus led them to the storm. He said, immediately he said to them, go get in the boat and go to the other side. Jesus put them in the storm. Jesus put them there. Say that with me. Jesus put them there. Well, that's hard. Just listen to me, because there is storms that Jesus doesn't put you in. But this storm, Jesus led them to the storm. If you're sitting here this morning, it may be even in your situation right now as you think about it. It may be that Jesus, God, has led you to this point of discomfort. I can say this to a fact. I got burnt to death almost in 1981. I'm almost celebrating July the 4th. Would be what, 30? 29 years that I've been born again. Truly know, set apart. Commissioned for the work I've been called to do. 29 years ago. Now, God didn't burn me. Jesus didn't burn me. But as I look back over it, with everything that went on that day, I can see where He led me to that part of my life. So that I could find my life. Yeah. And in finding my life, things, you know, it's amazing. When you really find your life, you find where God's at. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes. Yes. The scripture doesn't say they wanted to go there.
No.
It didn't say, scripture doesn't say they asked the Lord to let them get in the boat, go to the other side. The scripture says immediately he made them go over to the other side. He made them get out in the storm. They were in the midst of the storm, not because they disobeyed the Lord, but they obeyed the Lord. Pam, say amen on what's about for me. They're going to be rough. Oh. You with me? Life's real. See, we made faith so flaky. Don't nobody want to live by faith, because right when you start living by faith, all hell breaks loose. There ain't nothing to this faith thing. It is. Because you grow through the testing and trials of life. Don't have nobody tell me about nothing if they never been through nothing. Well, tell me how to keep my marriage and you only been married a week. You wait till you have some ups and downs, ins and outs. We're celebrating 40 years tomorrow. You wait till you live with a woman 40 years or a man with a 40 years. Then you can tell me something. Because you've been through the bumps and you've been where you woke up one morning and said, I don't know if my wife loves me, but I believe she does.
Amen.
Amen. We don't glorify in these storms, but storms, listen, get real with life.
Amen.
You're going to go through some storms in life, but you've got to focus on your God in the midst of the storm.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You talk to the three Hebrew children about storms.
Right. Yeah.
They were thrown into the fire because they did something right. They abstained from the king's meat. And doctors tell us to do that, but they had a righteous spirit to not be eating what the king ate, and ate what they're supposed to eat, and they become fairer and blessed. But they were thrown in the fiery furnace because they didn't disobey God. They obeyed God. Right. Tell Daniel that. Yeah. Talk to Daniel. Stop off at Daniel's house today and ask him now, what'd you do to get thrown into that lion's den? Daniel said, well, I went out and partied and got drunk that night. No, Daniel say, you know, I just was praying. And because I prayed, they throw me in the line. Talk to Paul a little bit about his life. Paul, why come you had so many storms? You must have really was a bad boy. No, Paul said he knows he had to suffer for the cause of Christ. So storms. You may be in a storm, and it may be most likely the Lord led you to the storm. So you can see who you are. Amen. And see how great He is. Amen. Because you can never really pray for a sick person until you've been sick. I wish you could just, you know, I know you can. I know it's all right to pray for people when you ain't been sick. But I'm telling you something. There's something to it when you've been at death's door and God brought you through and somebody else at death's door. There's a different sound that comes out of that voice.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you have to get sick to pray for folks. Listen to me. But sick people that got well, pray different. My wife often asks me this, and she's what we call Lily White Penny. Little girl was born in church, and if I had to list, she's got things. Everybody, they're not perfect, but she's pretty well on the way of being a pretty good lady. Every once in a while, she'll flare up. But she often tells me, asks me this because she sees me weep a lot about God's deliverance of my life. Sees Brother Jeff, hears testimonies of others. And she said, does the Lord love you more than He loves me? Or do you love the Lord more than you love me? I say to her, you can never understand that, Penny, unless you've been in the pit. Unless you've been the pervert in the pit. And God reached down in the pit. And pulled you up by His great and mighty mercy. There's no way I could tell her about the pit life. But some of you I can. And you can say, yes, Lord. Thank God for His mercy and grace. And I love Him with all my might and my spirit and soul. I have no choice whether I serve the Lord or not. Because He reached way down for my life. So these adversities and trials and tribulations are not something we boast about. But it's part of life. Especially faith people need to understand that. Really, when you look at storms, they are storms of corrections. God didn't put you there. You led yourself to the storm. Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale, not because he obeyed God, but he disobeyed God. He decided he wouldn't do what God said to do. So guess what? He wound up in an awful place. An awful place. Storm. There are some times that you get yourself in a mess. Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Let me hear an amen. Yeah. Nobody has to tell you. Yeah. You're so happy when you get out of that mess. You thank God. You thank God every moment. Yeah. That was one of my missionary trips into the pit. Yes. Storms of corrections, they are, but we're talking about the storm of perfection today. God doing something in your life. That's why breakthrough year is here, man.
Yes, sir.
It's so you'll understand the power of breakthrough to get you out of the midst of your storm.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Psalms 138 verse 8 says in the King James Version, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Whether you believe it or not, God's a good father. He's trying to grow you up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What kind of child would it be? What kind? What would Brother Jeff be? If he's sitting down there, and not because he got any kind of problems. They are adults sometimes that have problems that wear diapers. But he decided. Somebody decided long ago he wasn't going to potty train Brother Jeff all his life. He just have to. You know, I read something in a magazine the other day. This is freaky. This is how this generation is. The mom and daddy went to the Mom and daddy went to the store and bought this some adult diapers so they could understand why the kid was uncomfortable when he wet his britches and he pooped in his britches. Why would they walk around with wet britches and poop in them? I read the article. I'm crazy, nutty, loco, mucho loco, grand old loco. I ain't gonna wet my britches to see how it feels. I know how it feels. I sure ain't going to poop in them. Gone crazy. Now, when you get my age, you're subject to do both. But I'm telling you, it ain't because I want to. Y'all look at me. You ain't know. Like you sneeze. Or you break wind. Life. Okay. That's what y'all like about me, don't you? I tell it like it is. Oh, I would tell you some things, man. I took some colon cleansers one day. I was laying on the bed watching TV. And I thought to myself, man, I gotta break some wind here. And Penny had to change all the bed clothes. It wasn't wind. Where am I at? I was on them crazy people wearing them diapers. Crazy. Crazy. We talk about, I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God wants to grow you up. And how bad it would be if Brother Jeff never grew up. He's on diapers because he wanted to feel that sensation. What kind of person would that be? What kind of family would it be that would train a child up to be that way? He didn't grow. Something was wrong. God wants us to grow up. And learn how to deal with situations in our life. Because that's what's going to bring the world to the feet of the Lord. Because the shaking's going to shake them so bad, they come into the house of God. And they want to know how in the world we standing. How in the world we have a smile on our face. How in the world we come to church when gas is so high. We come to church, no, because God will supply all our needs. I tell you right now, I'm hearing all over the place. People are, now you may say it's not a good steward. No, I trust God. They're shutting down churches on Wednesday night because it costs too much to run them. I don't care if ain't nobody here. We're going to be here. Just turn it off. Let them come. Still need to be at the house of God. Some of you old timers know how it is not to have no air in the house of God. We came. Your mom and daddy did, so we can. So the disciples found themselves in the midst of the storm, not by disobedience, but because they obeyed God. They got in the boat at His command, and the boat led them into the storm. Look at verse 46. And when He sent them away, He departed into the mountain to pray. Yes, sir. Not only did the Lord bring them to the storm, but while they were in the storm, the Lord was praying for them. That excited me. It may not excite you. I thank God for your prayers. I covered the prayers of the people of the Lord. But when I think about the Lord praying for me in the midst of my storm, what a prayer meeting that is.
Amen.
Because when Jesus prays, he gets what he prays for. So in your storm that he led you there, he's praying for you right in the midst of your storm. Whatever it may be. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, the Lord's praying for us. His job's not finished. Jesus' job, he sat down at the right hand of the Father making intercession. He's praying for you in the midst of your storm. That he led you there, but he's praying for you there. You're not there by yourself. You're there because he led you there, and he's up there praying for you there. You may not even be looking up, but he's looking down. Glory to God. This thing will make you happy. Another thing we can see in this verse is found in verse 47. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Not only did he take them into the storm, praying for them in the storm, he sees you in the storm. Pam, will you help me? We are so unknowledgeable about God. So religious about our thinking about sin and defeat and adversity and all the tough times of life that we don't really recognize. God don't jump off the ship when it's sinking. He doesn't put you aside because you're having a bad day or you made a mess up or you're wet in your britches or you potted in your britches. He don't do that. He's praying for you. And he's looking at you while he's praying for you. I'm about like that preacher preached down. I'm about done all I can do about it. That preacher preached this one time. He was tied to the altar. And he had a rope tied to him. He'd go out and preach a little bit. He said, I've done all I can do to get all y'all saved. If this don't help you in your mess or your storm, it's because you're not listening. You can have peace in the midst of your storm. Have you ever met anybody in the midst of the storm that just didn't, he had peace because he knew where God was at in the storm? Amen. He brought you where you're at. You may not believe it. You'll see it later. I can see how I came through, how I got there, what happened. God was with me all the way. You ain't looking at somebody who just fell off the truck. I've lived long enough to have adversity, trials, tribulation, and my mind go nuts because I'm a faith preacher and it ain't lining up with my message. It ain't lining up with my thinking. And all the time it was just God getting my attention to see where he was at, to see what I was. And after we all got it together, it all worked out for my good. He sees you in the storm. Nobody may be looking at you. Nobody knows what you're going through. And here's the bad thing. Most people don't care what you're going through because they're going through something too. But the Lord got his eye on you. Boy, you can face anything. You know where God's at. Face anything, cancer, defeat, sickness, deathbed. I've been in the hospital when people were dying and they knew where God was at. It's such a joy knowing where God's at in your death. I've heard them sing, "Hold my hand, blessed Jesus, hold my hand." And go out in the glory. My daddy spoke in tongues for hours and went on out in the glory as I held his hand. Hallelujah. He knew where God was at in the midst of his storm. Yes. And when you know where God's at in the midst of your storm, there's peace that passes all understanding in your life. Yes. He saw them roaring, toiling and roaring, for the wind was contrary unto them. Listen to what the word see means here. It means to see with the eyes, to see with the mind, to perceive and to know. Here's what I want you to get hold of. To become acquainted with by experience. Yes. To take hold of and be aware and to care for. Another way to look at it, when you're in the storm because they put you there and he's praying for you, and now he sees you. He's feeling your pain. That's what the word see in the Greek means. To be acquainted with your pain. Surely he bore our grief and carried our pain. Sorrow means pains. He was tempted in all manner of flesh. All manner of sin, but he did not succumb or either give to him. He knows exactly what you are facing in your storm. He feels your pain. That's what an intercessor is. Is there any intercessors here? That when the spirit of intercession comes on you, you feel almost the pain of people. You cry uncontrollably. You pray uncontrollably. It ain't you praying. It's because you're interceding with those people and you feel their pain. Yes, yes.
Come on.
He's not just looking at us. Like good church people watch you go through what you're going through and they're looking at you. But they don't feel your pain. But he does.
Hallelujah.
God help us. What a loving Lord it is. Not only the done what he did on Calvary, but he feels for us today.
Amen.
He feels for us. I got a scripture on it. Hebrews 4:15. The Amplified Bible says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize. We have one that shares feelings with our weakness and infirmities." He shares feelings with us when we're in the storm. Oh, when Jesus sees us, he sees us just like he saw the disciples. Toiling with our oars. We want a breakthrough, but we're toiling with our oars. I'm still a suckler for God's word. It'll bring anybody out of anything if they believe it.
Amen.
Don't tell me you can't quit taking dope.
Come on.
Or you can't quit committing adultery. Or you can't quit smoking if you really want to. Or whatever obstacle you are in. Tell me you can't. You telling me God's word ain't powerful enough to bring you out of it. What you telling me. It's not against me. It's against God's word. Amen. He saw them toiling and roaring with their oars, trying to go to the other side, just like you are right now. Some of you have been toiling with your oars, trying to get out and get in your breakthrough. Because we taught you to focus on the breakthrough. We didn't teach you to look around. You might be learning something right now. Very important to your life right now. It might be right now is your right now. Right now. Did y'all get that? Right now might be your right now. Till you see how to get out of that mess. So the next time you'll be able to get out of it. Not even have to go through it but a moment.
Preach, preach, preach.
Because some of you are destined for greatness right now in your mess and you don't know it. And God wants you to get it all taken care of right now so you can go on to your greatness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because when you get out of this, you're going to have a testimony like nobody in the world has. And it won't be a testimony, it'll be a testimony. Because you'll have something to say. Glory to God. You want to know about life? Just talk to some of these old folks. Oh, Lord help me. I've been so bold here lately. I'm just going, my God, this whining nation we live in makes me sick at my stomach. I want to throw up on the TV whining. Listen, our grandparents, their grandparents ate soup on the soup line. Is any of you eating soup on a soup line? Talking about we're back near the Great Depression. Study the Great Depression. And then they had to get rationing of everything. Young folks, you better pray we don't have to ration clothes. You be wearing some of mine.
Yeah.
Whining. Church whining makes me sick at my stomach. Most of y'all sitting in a building you didn't have anything to do with. You didn't put a dime in it. And I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying how it is. You didn't do nothing. You didn't drive a nail. You didn't clean up a nothing over here. But you're sitting here enjoying every bit of it. What you got to whine about? You ain't worried about the bills. You don't have to pay them. I ain't looked at your tithing. Well, I don't look at them because I can't pray for you if you ain't tithing. I'm telling you, my mind won't let it pray. I got to pray in faith for you. Let the Lord work that out. Penny knows who gives.
Hallelujah.
Whining. You whine all you want in your storm. You ain't going to get you nowhere. But when you see God in it, you can see God in it. Listen, I've been in the worst places and just sit down and meditate and find something in this storm that I can find my God and give Him glory and honor and praise for my piece of egg I had this morning. I might not have had bacon, but at least I had an egg. Lordy, y'all don't have to give me a raise. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He saw them struggling. He sees you. The wind having come up against them. Listen now. The very thing that they needed to push them across to the other side now is fighting them. I'm going to preach to you now. Anybody ever thought something was going to help you turn out to hurt you? Some of you, when you started the first of the year about a breakthrough, you got happy. But as it went by, what you thought was going to help you turned against you. Become contrary now to your mind. Messing you up now. I thought it was going to work out this way. Yes, what you thought. But you got to learn some more. Here's the thing about God. You will pass the test if you have to go through it over and over and over. But God loves you enough. He won't let it kill you. It ain't going to kill you. He's not going to take your life unless you let it. It'll grow you up to find and your destiny. And I looked at Joseph this morning. Joseph, my friend, there are plenty, a lot of people you pass in life. And I passed thousands. And not only Joseph, but I'm speaking to him because the Lord spoke to me when he was singing today. There are people you pass in life, Joseph, that you know by experience and by spirit, they're destined for greatness. Let me tell you something, Joseph. You're one of those persons.
Yeah.
The hand of the Lord is on your life more than you'll ever know. And I want to tell you, God's told me to pray for you that your faith fail you not. Because if you go God's way, you can be anything you ever want to be. But my friend, because God chose you, you didn't have nothing to do with it. If you try to go the other way, you'll never be nothing. So I know you're young, you're hearing this, but mark my words, people. There's a young man destined for greatness. Right there. And what your daddy could not obtain and do, you will. Not that he couldn't, but at this time he chooses not to, you will. The double portion is on you. And you will be the one I already told you going to help win, heal your daddy. Not win him, heal him. So go for the gold. Going in the Marines, be one. From the top of your head to the sole of your foot. Become a four-star general that knows God. Become one that's full of faith. It's not afraid to say, go kick butt. The Lord's with us. Who shall we be afraid? Be another David. This Philistine. This old big. Who is this Philistine? He ain't nothing. He'll go down too. Well, that was off the subject. Amen. What you thought would be your breakthrough turned out to be your breakout. Everything's broken, shattered. You can't tell how to go. I got encouragement words for you this morning. He sees you toiling and roaring, for the wind was contrary. Look at verse I'll read this verse because it tells about him looking for the eyes. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto your prayers. You're righteous not because of what you do.
Right.
We don't understand that either. You're righteous because of what he did for you.
Right.
You can never become unrighteous when Jesus is in your sight. You can do wrong things and it will be unrighteous, but you can't become unrighteous. You pay for doing unrighteous things. What you sow, you reap.
Yes, sir.
Hear me now.
Yes, sir.
But you can't. Once the righteousness comes in, you can't get rid of it because you didn't get it in there anyway. He imputed to you your righteousness. It's good that he prayed for us. Good that he sees us. But that ain't all the picture. Look at the Bible says in verse 48, about the fourth watch of the night, he come unto them walking upon the sea. You got your shouting shoes on. You thought it was good. This is fixing to get real good. He come walking to them walking on the sea. Listen, write this down in your mind. If you can't get to him, he'll get to you. Know what that means. Don't you know what that means, Brother Jeff? You're talking about it this week. You're telling the man yesterday, you know what it is, it's setting your house. And the conviction of God get on you. He came to you. Minding your own business. He said, open the Bible and read it.
Hallelujah.
And he wouldn't leave you alone because you couldn't get to him at that time, but he got to you. You know what I'm talking about, Brad, in that bed, in that prison cell, when everybody had shut you off. Mama couldn't get to you. Daddy couldn't get to you. Preacher Mike couldn't do you. But he got to you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Showed up on your bed.
Hallelujah.
Showed you his love and my shaka banda loba. Shaka bola, shaka bola, shaka bola.
Yes. Yes,
Where's God at in your storm? Hallelujah. He'll get to you. Turn and tell somebody, don't worry about it. He's on his way. Here's the thing. He's walking on the water. Here's another one. The very thing that was trying to drown them, he was walking on it. The very thing that wanted to take him under, he was on top of it. Came walking on the water, man. Woo, I feel like 20 years old here. What was that to get him? He walked on it. Lord Jesus. Where am I at? I'm lost now. Oh, Lord Jesus, get this down. No matter what is trying to kill you or rob you or keep you is not bigger than your God. See, what you have to do is see how big God is. And if you don't know where he's at in your storm because you put him on the outside, y'all, you seeing how big the storm is. Find God in your storm. Wherever he's at, he's in there. He's in there. Believe me, somewhere he's in there. Find out where he's at in there. And you tell that storm, now storm, look who's with me. El Shaddai's with me, and he's more than enough. Storm, fight with him, storm. Don't let your storm tell you how little your God is. Act like you're a faith person. You speak to your storm. Shakabola. See, wind be still in my life. Do you hear me? Wind be still in my life. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You might as well leave me alone. I'm just about to catch you. And when I catch you, you're going to have to pay me sevenfold more than what you stole from me. I'll tell you what, devil. I'm too expensive for you to mess with. You better leave me alone, storm. I know where my God's at. Matter of fact, God brought me here to learn something. I'm telling you today, I've learned something today. That whatever's after me can't kill me, and whatever's after me, he's going to walk on it. And if I can't get to him, he's coming to me. And when he comes to me, he's got his foot on what's after me. Glory to God. Shakabola. Ooh, my mercy. Whatever's about to drown you is not bigger than God. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it was a spirit and cried out. Verse 50 says, for they all saw him and were troubled and immediately talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. They like to miss their breakthrough. They thought he was a spirit because they were troubled. Put it together. Here's the whole message today. You might be missing your breakthrough because you don't know where God's at. And if you don't know where God's at, then you are troubled. They were troubled. And they thought it was a spirit. You're troubling. Here's the thing about it. See, we preach the thing so crooked and wrong. God is looking for people at peace. He's looking for you to be at rest before you get your rest. It's always inside first. You have your breakthrough inside first. I mean, you just know that you know her, that you know her, that you know her, that your end of that cycle is near. It's at hand. The kingdom is now at hand. And you can take this message and whoop up on the devil, whoop up on your circumstances now, because you know you didn't get yourself there unless you're really disobeying God. ain't talking about buying the wrong TV. I ain't talking about spending too much money. We all have done that. We've asked God to forgive us. But I'm talking about you've learned something, man. You are learning. Is anybody learning anything through the test of life? They like to miss the breakthrough because they were so troubled. Verse 55 says, 55 said they had a hardening of their heart. You know what a hard heart is? How you get a hard heart? It's not by sinning. It's when you fail to see the greatness of God in your life cause you become hard. Listen to what Barnes' commentary says. Their heart was hardened. Their mind was dull to perceive the greatness of God. This does not mean that they were opposed to Jesus or that they had what we say is hardness of heart, but simply that they were slow to perceive His power. Listen, they did not quickly learn, as they ought to have done, that the Lord is all-powerful and could therefore stop the storm. The heart was hardened. It may be you have let your heart become hardened because you didn't know where God was at. And your storm just took you. But guess what? There's a remedy. The Bible says they cried out.
Hallelujah.
That's what the Bible says. They said, and when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them. Saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Not only did the Lord take them there, not only did the Lord pray for them there, not only did the Lord see them there, and not only did the Lord walk to them there, now the Lord speaks to them there. Right in the midst of the storm, God says,
Come on.
Oh, you're typing that sucker right over there. All you need, you hear it over and over, is one word from God. And your word right now in your storm is be of good cheer. I have overcome it. Be of good cheer. Laugh at it. Ha, 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 ha. You held me here too long now. I got a word from God. Be of good cheer. I have overcome that thing. Be not afraid. You hear me say it often. As long as nobody's in the morgue, we can work through it. We better thank God. Some of us parents, we're going through troubles, but thank God you got your daughter sitting by you today. Now, I know you've been through it. I pray for you all the time. And y'all, you and Harold are faithful people. And I know you're going through some things. But look beside you this morning. Look at your daughter sitting beside you this morning. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. And I'm working in the thing. I'm working out some things in your daughters that you know not of even at this moment. Because you can replace a house, you can replace a car, but you can't replace those kids sitting beside you. Glory to God. My, I gotta go. Shalabala, la, my. Listen to what the Bible said. We're clothed in the righteous. Psalm 34, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Verse 51 said, and He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. My goodness. Good Lord. Where is God in your storm? Where is He? Everybody stand. You're right, Brother Lee. He's in you, in the storm with you. Let's stand up. Woo! My goodness. Nothing you can't face when you got Him in there with you. See, here's the thing, people. When you go through adversity, first thing you need to do, first very thing is locate where God's at. When you get them bills you can't pay, don't locate the bill collector and cuss him out. Locate where God's at. Tell God about it first. You get the bill, you got about 1 second to find out if they're going to be supernatural paid for or not. Double-minded man received nothing of God. You can't look over here and say, well, I'm going to get that man about it. You owe it. They just paying them people to torment you. They make good money tormenting you. But if you pay it, they can't torment you. And when you can't pay it, you need to find out where God's at. It's all up here. Where's your God at this morning? Where, if you locate Him. That's why you got to have some time with yourself, especially in the time in which we live in. When everything's pulling and pulling and pulling, the kids are pulling and the husband's pulling and the job pulling and TV is screaming 240, 50 channels and you got to make money to live and you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to listen, you got to take some time.
Yes.
You got to take some time alone with God. Locate Him. Cry out to God. Don't look at your storm and say, where is God? He's right there. You look at your storm and say, don't you see who's with me? Devil, have you lost your mind? Don't you see He's in my boat?
Yes.
If I were to go to Atlanta and them bad places, I wouldn't take a... I don't know, little people sometimes are tough. Let me see, I'm trying to find some little old man in there. Some little boy hoping to be a man. Let's see what I got here. I got all real men here this morning. I wouldn't take somebody 4 foot tall and skin look like they got leukemia. I go in the middle land of somewhere, I'd take somebody like him. I get up in there and they start with me, I roll down the window, can't y'all see he's in the car with me? Or he step outside, they run. Don't you know who's in there, the storm with you? Do you really know, people of God? Do we really know in the shaking of life, the storms that are coming and all around us, and everything's painted bad because bad news sells? What smells sells, always. Do we know where our God is? Do you have a relationship with Him? That no matter what happens in your life, you still feel His presence.
Yes.
Some people never been in His presence. They don't know what it is to know the presence of God. That's why you need to linger around at the altars here when church is over. People are beginning to linger there in the presence of God. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And like I said, if you broke, busted, and disgusted, you don't need to be late to church. You need to be early to church. You don't need to leave when it's over. You need to linger and get more and more and more of His presence. If you're having difficulties, you ain't got time to be on no TV flipping through 240 channels. You need to be on your knees in the back room. If you can't pray, you can cry. And the Bible says He hears the cries of the righteous. I know there have been times, I'm closing, there have been times in my life where I couldn't say a word. It was so overwhelming. I spent many days in Tulsa, Oklahoma, crying like a baby. I left everything I had, went out there. What I thought was going to help me turned against me right in the midst of it. I laid across the bed, cried tears as big as my fingers, telling Penny, should we go home? Should we quit? Should we pack up? Everything, business gone, everything, church gone, everything. I mean, totally mess. But I cried and the Lord heard my cry.
Yes.
And He was in the midst of my storm and He strengthened me.
Yes.
And encouraged me to just keep moving. The storm will pass.
Yes.
And it did. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Where is your God? That's where I'm at you this morning. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have no altar call and everybody come down here. That's fine. I love altar calls. But it's not an altar call thing. It's you making a choice in the midst of your storm to find out where your God is. Now, your God may not be as big as mine. That might be your problem. You've hemmed Him up so long, you've been troubled. You need to get the trouble off of you. Long as you're troubled, they couldn't tell who it was. Put your praise music on. Play the sermons over and over. I keep telling y'all that. The most precious thing in your life is not your car, your home. You can lose it tomorrow. The most precious thing in your life is the Word from God. The Word of God is a precious book. Why, I've seen it do marvelous things. And it ends in my life. I used to sleep with my Bible. Probably need to start doing it again. Some of you I know right now, you live off feelings. You live off, most of you get blessings off somebody else's blessing. You don't ever read your Bible, you never pray, and you get blessed, and you think it's you. That's what gets you in trouble. No, you're just getting the gleaning off somebody you found favor over. If you're not in the Bible, I'm telling you, your blessings are turned to curses before it's over with. Find out where your God's at, everybody. It's every man. Let me tell you something. I'm closing. It's about to be every man for himself. You can't depend on somebody else's faith. You can't depend on the church being where it ought to be when you get here. You can't depend on those people that rob you on the TV. You can't depend on whoever they are to put you in a prayer. I mean, I just laugh when I see all them thousands. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just so much gimmicks to somebody having 200,000 letters acting like they're going to read all of them and pray for you. You better learn how to pray for yourself. You better find out where your God is at and how big is your God at in your storm. He's only as big as you will let Him be. You can't expect my God to get you out of your storm. You got to know your God in your storm. And your God be bigger than the storm.
Hallelujah.
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 Father, lift your hands. In the name of the Lord, seal this message in our heart today. May we not whine and moan and groan in our tests of adversity and pain, sorrows, knowing that you don't leave us. Knowing that you're praying for us and you see us. And if we can't get to you, you'll get to us. And when you get to us, you got a word of power. A word that will speak peace to our souls. Father, if we be troubled today, anybody be troubled, we come against that troubling spirit. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare it in the name of Jesus that peace that passes all understanding fill our life today. As we journey home, we go home with hope and vigor and enthusiasm and expectation that our God is rescuing us from this storm. Our breakthrough is upon us, even at this moment. Our moment of breakthrough is upon us, and we'll walk out and walk through these things with faith and power. And we'll never feel helpless, Lord. We'll never feel lonely anymore. There are many people here today. I pick it up in the spirit that think they're all alone, Lord. Lord, may they realize, may this message seal in their heart to realize, as a child of God, we're never alone. Our shepherd, it's a good shepherd. He leads us beside the still waters of life. He doesn't run off when times get hard, when we do wrong, or maybe we make a bad decision, or or our life is such a mess. He's with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. His word is the spirit and then life. So today I thank you that you're with us in the storm. Thank you, Lord, you're setting your people free. In the name of Jesus. Let's praise Him for a moment. We're going. Just begin to praise Him. Seal this word in your heart. Bye-bye.